I'm Capria Johnson, and you are listening to the Leadership Podcast, where we delve into the stories, strategies, and insights of experienced leaders who have successfully navigated the challenges and triumphs of their journey. Get ready to be inspired, equipped, and empowered to lead with confidence and purpose.
Dr. Williams, thank you for sharing your expertise and reflections on today's topic of mission-driven goals. If you could please introduce yourself and then share your initial reactions to this topic.
Thanks so much for having me. I'm Andrea Williams. I'm an associate professor of English here at Ohio State. My research focuses on African-American literature and early American literature to 1900. But for the last few years, since 2020, I've also served in a number of leadership roles in the Office of Diversity and Inclusion. I'm the director of the Women's Place, and that's Ohio State's Office for Promoting Gender Equity. And I'm also the interim associate vice provost for diversity and inclusion. In that role, I'm focusing on the retention and success of faculty, staff, and students who enhance inclusive excellence here at Ohio State. And I would say what draws all of these three together for me is that key to all of those roles is my investment in mentorship. So that's part of the mission that drives me. Whether I'm in the classroom teaching literature or consulting with faculty and staff who want to aim to boost their career or reviewing office practices and policies with an eye to equity, I'm thinking as a mentor and as an advocate about how to make sure that people have more insightful and fulfilling experiences in higher education.
Nice. Sounds like, you know, you're very busy, but it sounds like all of the different leadership roles that you have are kind of aligned and definitely fits into your passion and your goals and things of that nature. So why would you say it's important for leaders to kind of align their personal or professional mission with their goals?
Having a sense of mission can cohere and drive our activities. We're all pulled in so many different directions with information overload, urgent deadlines, and limited resources. But mission-driven goals not only help us to know what to pursue, but also what activities and opportunities to decline. So in that way, I'd say mission-driven goals help us to conserve our energy, to leverage our expertise, to grow our networks in meaningful ways towards that bigger picture.
Nice. So kind of going off of that, how can someone maintain their alignment between their mission and goals over time? Because, you know, life happens, we might face different obstacles or kind of changes in our life and then also our career. So how can someone, you know, maintain that alignment?
Times of transition can be actually really pivotal for helping us to consider whether there's been a kind of mission drift or a gradual shift away from our core mission of either ourselves personally or for our organization. And I think at those times, self-reflection and being open to feedback are particularly helpful. I'll give an example. The pandemic served as one of those kinds of inflection points that demanded many of us to pare down our activity and our approaches to really focus on what was most central and strategic to our operations. During that time, I noticed that a lot of leaders also reevaluated their executive presence to be more humble and more approachable and vulnerable to allow their followers to recognize they didn't know all the answers and that there was a lot that was unknown. And sometimes when leaders admit that they don't have all of the answers, they gain a greater sense of respect and mutuality from their followers or employees. And in the case of pandemic, I really saw that as a time where people were working together more collaboratively to go over and above to provide innovative solutions to problems. And that was partly because, again, there was a mutual agreement on what were those central missions, such as educating students, ensuring safety, and people were able to agree on those beyond what are sometimes the frills that we have in less hectic times. So the pandemic was a fairly universal time for people to have that kind of realignment. But we also have those personal times of mission realignment in our lives based on our own circumstances. So even as leaders, we face sickness, we face caregiving responsibilities, we have grief and loss in our family and with our loved ones. And all of those can change our capacity for going over and above, over the 100% that we're used to. I think in those times, our realignment can lead us back to thinking about what's most pivotal, what's most important. And then also it can lead us to some healthy practices of delegation where we find, yes, the mission is there and even the goal is there, but maybe we need to bring other people along in executing the mission so that we don't wear ourselves out and that other people feel empowered to give their best as well and to pursue their own dreams. Finally, I'd say, it's not always bad to change our perspectives and what we thought our goal or our mission was, either as an individual or as a leader or even as an institution. We're always working in changing environments. And I think that it could be fruitful for us to be very responsive to our changing times, our changing demands, different demographics, different needs in our evolving world. And in that way, then sometimes mission drift isn't a bad thing. It's actually part of evolution, part of innovation, allowing for us to offer even better strategies for both our present and our future.
I like that. And that's a good reminder because I feel like a lot of times we get so not stuck in our ways, but kind of stuck in like, oh, this is my goal. This is my passion. I have to do this thing and see it to the end. But with life comes changes and with our careers come changes. And I guess with that also comes changes in our goals and our missions, which is definitely okay to do. So I appreciate that kind of reminder about that. You've already kind of touched on, you know, like a personal experience, but can you share any other personal experiences or success stories where aligning your goals with your missions led to greater fulfillment and then success for others or your team? Well, yourself or your team.
I like to work backwards from a long-term goal. And I think, for example, I often will look at a position description and say, hey, that's where I'd like to be 10 years from now. Let's see what are the skills and expectations of experience that are expected for that role. How many of those do I currently have? And what are the new opportunities that I need to pursue to get there so that I am prepared 10 years from now? Sometimes the things that we want manifest, but it often happens because we're sharing our personal vision with mentors or sponsors or allies that can help for us to access those skills and people and opportunities that we need to prepare. So I think that much of my career has followed this path line in thinking about what are some of my longer term missions, making sure that I make sure that other people are apprised of those. I think sometimes we think that we will jinx ourselves if we announce aloud what some of our long-term goals are, but instead it can be our North Star guiding us on, and it can also help for other people to have a clear investment in our success as well.
Nice. So working backwards, I'll remember that. Work backwards, look at where I want to be, what I need to do in order to do that. And I'm sure that'll also be beneficial for our listeners as well. So can you share any practical steps or exercises that listeners can start implementing immediately to begin the process of aligning their goals with their missions for a more purposeful and fulfilling life or career? I know you touched on thinking backwards, but are there any other tips or exercises that you have that we can provide the listeners?
Sure. I recall reading this slim book called Finding Your Purpose in 15 Minutes by Derek Drakeford. And it includes this simple exercise. You're supposed to identify some of the people and even some of the pain that has meant the most to you. And when you consider those together, it can help for you to think about who are the audiences that you most feel drawn to serving or advancing, as well as what are some of the approaches or mediums that you plan to do or plan to use to achieve that. So think about both your people, your purpose, what makes you happiest, but also sometimes what makes you angriest, because that can help for you to know what you feel passionate about in terms of resolving some of the many questions that we face in everyday life and in higher education. Recently as well, in the President and Provost Leadership Institute, which is the faculty leadership program that we have through the Women's Place, I had for the participants also to create a kind of personal rubric that would help for them to determine when to say yes and when to say no to the many service requests, such as committee work and recommendations and event planning that come our way. And within that too, we had to think about who are the audiences that I feel most drawn to serving at this stage in my career? And again, that can often change based on where we are in our careers, in our own chronology, and the long term of our lives. So doing those kinds of exercises to think about what is the big picture that I'm moving towards can really help. In terms of assessments, I also recommend something like a 360-degree evaluation. In these cases, you ask people who are your supervisors or your department leads, your peers, as well as any direct reports or students, trainees, postdocs, to all give anonymous feedback through a survey on what your own experience as a leader is. And that can be really revelatory. First, it empowers people to be able to give honest feedback without some of the fear of retaliation, of being discovered as the person who is given that feedback. So that anonymity is really important. But also, these kinds of tools can give really important prompts that boil down or pare down what are some of the leadership skills that you need to be exhibiting as a powerful leader. And I've gotten both useful feedback from those and also sometimes some of the most flattering responses that I almost print out and put in my brag file to remind myself that even if for one person, even if for one unit, even if for a small group of students, I'm making a difference, but I'm pretty sure it's for a larger audience than that. The last thing that I would recommend again is coming back to that point of thinking about how sometimes our processes of delegation aren't simply passing the buck. They really are opening opportunities for other people too to be able to exercise their leadership experience. So doing this can help for us both to align our goals with our mission and to make sure that we're also supporting others in doing the same.
I like those strategies and activities. Definitely sound useful. And I could see myself also using some of those to kind of, you know, see where I want to be, think about, you know, what's working for me, what's maybe not working for me, and how I can kind of better attune my skills and things of that nature. As we kind of wrap up, I know you've kind of already given us a wealth of knowledge. Do you have maybe 3 to 5 more important points, tips or advice that you can give our listeners to kind of take away from this episode?
That we learn to be leaders. We're not born leaders. And so we can think about what are the ways that we learn, both from the positive examples and also from the negative or less admirable examples. So be very attentive in terms of being an observer. You might also think about the ways that podcasts like this one, books and other kinds of media can enhance the ways that we learn about leadership. One of my favorite practices early in the morning, in addition to watching the national news, is also to look at briefings from Inside Higher Ed and Chronicle of Higher Education. And that helps for me to understand the necessity of leading in this changing higher ed environment. That's one of the things that I would recommend. I also think that, as many people are reminding, it is those moments of self-care and reflection and pause where we often come with a sense of crystallizing our purpose, our mission, or even sometimes our discontent. And that too can register what some of our next steps need to be. I've also been listening to, for example, Rest is Resistance by Tricia Hersey, which reminds us of the ways that we, as leading ourselves first, need to be able to have that space of reflection and thinking that can bring forth for us what are the ways that we really can make an impact and a difference. And finally, I would say, make sure that we're availing ourselves of the many other resources around us, especially at a great place like Ohio State that's so full of a wealth of things like our Center for Teaching and Learning, our Institutes for Study and Writing, the Humanities Institutes, other topical institutes, the Women's Place, the Office of Institutional Equity, and many of our other programs that have diversity advocates with additional information about how to make sure that our leadership is not only strategic, but also inclusive.
Dr. Williams, thank you so much for your time and speaking on the Leadership Podcast today. And to our listeners, thank you for listening to another episode of the Leadership Podcast.
The Leadership Podcast is produced by The Ohio State University's Office of Faculty Affairs. For more information, visit us at faculty.osu.edu. I'm your host, Capriya Johnson. Thanks for listening, and we will see you next time.